The World Congress on Evangelism developed when Billy Graham Association sent letters to about 100 independent Christian evangelical leaders around the world and said, as you see the world picture, would there be value in having a congress of world leaders to talk about the evangelization of the world in the last quarter of the 20th century? The resounding response was yes. So at the initiative of the Billy Graham Association, there were convening committees appointed, selection committees in every country, and the whole process started, which led up to the Congress last year. Now, if you turn to the front of the page, and you can see a little bit of the background. Part of the reason for Billy Graham doing this was in point B, under the background, that there was a general problem with the Commission on World Mission and Evangelization of the World Council of Churches, dissatisfaction with this, because of their emphasis on ecumenism, their emphasis on social action, political movements. Many evangelical leaders felt that the World Congress had lost a real biblical trust in mission and evangelism. And so there was dissatisfaction with this, and we could spend a whole lot of time on that, but we're not going to get into too much of that. And so that's part of the background. The stated purposes of the Congress, when they listed them, there were nine. I summarize them here in four basic purposes of the Congress. To proclaim the biblical basis for evangelism in a day of theological confusion. And when they talked about theological confusion, they talked in terms of such things as a loss of the authority of the Scriptures, problems in understanding the lostness of mankind and the need for salvation in Jesus Christ. The fact that salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, and there's no other way of salvation but in Jesus Christ. And then the problem of social action and personal evangelism, of word and deed problems. This is what we think of in terms of theological confusion. And the question was being raised, why had we lost the great missionary zeal of the great missionary century, the 19th century? Why had we lost this? And part of the problems were saying that because we have lost the biblical basis in this theological confusion. Well, that was one of the purposes, to make a clear statement about the biblical basis for evangelism. Another purpose was to identify those who do not know Christ. We have heard in the past years, you know, people saying there are 2 billion people in the world who don't know Christ. So part of the purpose of this was to identify them and say, are there that many? Who are they? Where are they? Etc. And as part of the preparation for the Congress, the MARC organization, the Mission Advanced Research Center in California, connected with the Fuller School of Missions, did some research studies, and they published a book of unreached people, listing peoples around the world who are considered unreached and listing their status of people around the world. They did studies, profile studies, of all the major countries of the world, like in the United States and Canada. For instance, if you're from Canada and you want to know the status of Christianity in Canada, write and get it for 10 cents, get a little profile study, and it'll tell you the situation of all of Christianity in Canada. You can do that with 50 countries of the world. It was part of the preparation for the Congress. And by the way, the statistics look like this. In 1830, it took from the beginning of the world until 1830 to get a billion people in the world. 1930, the population had grown to 2 billion. That took 100 years to do that. But then in 1960, we had 3 billion. It took only 30 years. 1975, we've got 4 billion people in the world today. That only took 15 years to add that extra billion. The projections are, despite the pill and all of these things, the projections are, by the experts, that by the year 2000, there's going to be 6.5 billion people in the world. And they feel that eventually the world might stabilize at 12.3 billion. Of course, I'm sure you're pretty much in guessing when you get to that point. But that's the picture. Right now, today, 4 billion people in the world. Of them, the study showed 2.7 billion are not Christian. Approximately 28% of the world is Christian. The rest is not. Well, that was one of the purposes of the Congress, is to study these, identify them, etc. Another was to develop and share, to awaken Christian conscience to the need to evangelize, pray, cooperate, saying that in the last quarter of the 20th century, the churches need to be awakened and stirred and moved to the task of evangelizing these 2.7 billion people in the world. And then to help do that, to develop and share strategies. Just look briefly at the centered section number 2 and some of the statistics, and then I'm going to show some slides to just kind of elaborate that a little bit of the Congress itself, and then we'll pick up number 3 on the bottom, some of the message as I see it of the Congress, the meaning for us today, and here's where we might have Dr. Preuss share with us at this point. But notice the dates of the Congress, Pali Debalu in Lausanne, the participants. All of the work in the Congress was done in 4 languages. Everything that was printed, including the daily paper and the program, was all in 4 languages. Your program was like this for the Congress, and you always had to have 4 columns, one in all of those 4 languages listed there. There was simultaneous translation into all of these languages, 6 plus the English language. Simultaneous translation. The process, maybe just a little bit of the process, prior to the Congress, all the major papers were sent out to the participants. You had a notebook like this that you could put them in, but you had to then read the papers, have a reaction sheet, send it back to the author of that article, and then he, at the Congress, in the plenary session, responded to your responses. To the thousands of letters that were sent in, then he summarized those responses and reacted to those. And then you have the other types of approaches. Maybe with that, we'll look at some of the slides of the Congress and get a little feel of being there in Lausanne, in this beautiful little town in Switzerland. Little, I don't know, about 40,000, I guess. Huh? Bigger than that? How big is Lausanne? 300,000. All right, 300,000. wording across the top, which means the place of a beautiful view. In the front, you see the symbol of the Congress put in flowers. Everybody arrived by plane in Geneva, took buses to Lausanne, about 50 miles north of Geneva, and here the people are arriving and getting into their other buses to take them to some 60 hotels around the town where they were all housed. The grounds was beautiful. This is looking out from the Congress Hall itself over the grounds. This is a regular convention center where some of the international Congress meetings are held of Lions, Rotary, and other groups. During the sessions, you could walk around during the breaks in the sessions, you could walk around through these beautiful flowers. Very relaxing, pleasant atmosphere. The Congress Hall itself looked like this. Seated 4,000 people. In addition to the 2,700 participants, there were guests, official observers, press, making about 4,000 people. The flags on each side, plus the 6 official languages, English, French, Spanish, German, Indonesian, and Chinese. One of the little techniques, above the main speaker's platform or table, there was always this big screen, television screen, closed-circuit TV, so that you could always see the speaker from way back in the end of the hall on that screen above. Here Billy Graham speaks at the opening session, and you can see how it's blown up on the TV. The population clock is being started. The population clock ticked off the number of people that were born into the world during the days of the Congress. And it kept going like this, and you could go down and watch it and see the numbers go like a mileage speedometer. You know, it goes tick, 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 tick. 200,000 people a day were ticked off. The participants from all over the world The language booths where the translations, simultaneous translations, were held. They scoured the world to find capable translators who were Christian, who knew, who could understand what the speakers were saying in Christian terminology and immediately translate it into these languages. You had your earphones. If the platform speaker was speaking in Spanish, you turned the dial to the particular, if you wanted English or if you wanted Chinese, you turned it to that particular dial. Inside of the booth, there usually were two people so they could switch off and help each other. Cliff Burrows from the Billy Graham Association led some of the singing in a few of the opening sessions. We always had to have our tea break or coffee break. This is the entrance. Lunch was always a great experience. You would sit at one of these, you'd go through a cafeteria line, a number of them set up all around this hall that could feed 4,000 people. And you would choose any one of the tables. You didn't know if the six people sitting there were from what country they were. And it was a great experience. There might be somebody there from the Philippines, somebody from Germany, some from Tanzania, somebody from Latin America. And over the lunch and over the evening meal, you would try to communicate with them. Many of them could speak English. And you could share with them a great experience every meal. Above the platform, the first floor lobby area where the population clock was, there was a chapel, prayer chapel, where you see the word Alleluia. That's the second floor where there are smaller meeting rooms all along on the second and third floor. But this is the prayer chapel where many people would come to spend time in prayer. This is looking down from the prayer chapel to the population clock. The smaller sessions also had everyday strategy groups where we met by country to talk about evangelism in our particular country or area. And then there were smaller sessions where they talked about the theology of evangelism and different strategies of evangelism. Much of the afternoon was spent in these kind of group discussions. This is what the participant usually carried with him: his big book, his program, his notes, his Bible, and his camera. This is a press conference, and there were many of them. Just to get a flavor of the people from different parts in the world, some of the dress, of native dress of different people. Sunday afternoon that we were there, there was a Billy Graham rally for the community. People came from all over Europe, and there were 40,000 people here. That's where I got the 40,000. At the rally, there were 40,000 people. And before they went, that Sunday afternoon, most of the people did put on their native dress. And so some of us with cameras took the opportunity to take pictures. As my wife and with this older retired gentleman from Lausanne, a native, who came out each day and usually and to blow his Alpen horn. People love to have their picture taken with his Alpen horn, which, if you don't know, is a horn they used to use to blow signals from mountain to mountain. It's all wood, and it makes a what kind of sound would you call that? A bullhorn sound. All right. These are some of the people who were there from our participants, a few shots of some of them. There's Pastor Faust and his wife from Michigan. People from different countries. Most of these in the white costume are from Africa. The gentleman from Germany, and I believe the other one is from Cyprus. The man with the hat is from Bolivia, and the lady from India. Cyprus again, I believe. Africa. One evening, before the evening session, they had a Swiss choir do some yodeling. And notice again, they had three Alpen horns on the left that played with the choir for several numbers. Some of the people, and if I get all these names right, I believe this is Green. This is Canon Green. Corey Ten Boom. These are some of the plenary session speakers. Francis Schaeffer, Stanley Mounahan from World Vision, and Ortez from Argentina. A little Korean, blind Korean girl who did one of the solo singing numbers prior to a session. Stott, I believe, from England. Ed Hill from Los Angeles, Watts area, Baptist pastor. Mudridge, the social critic from England. The Sunday afternoon going up, we walked from the Congress Hall up to the rally area. There was one American Indian there in his full dress that Sunday afternoon. Here's Pastor Tamert from Minneapolis, one of our group. Some of the other people that were there from our group were Professor Hinsey, Dr. Preuss, Carl Barth. Help me with some of these names now. Ellis Needing from Iowa West, Waldo Werning, Ruder Bitterman, Will Stone. Some of the others we'll think about and tell you. Everybody wanted to have their picture taken with that Indian. Here's one of the demonstrators. This girl has a picture of a martyr from behind the Iron Curtain. And she's protesting or demonstrating, saying we ought to recognize the persecution behind the Iron Curtain more than we were. This is taken in the Congress Hall. Pastor Tamert in the foreground. Pastor Biesenthal again on the left. You get a view of the crowd that was there that afternoon. This was a soccer field. The only people out on that green grass were the press that you see here. When the people came forward after a while to make a commitment, they had to stand on the track around it. They were not permitted to stand on this grass, lest they spoil it for the soccer team. There were also some other demonstrators, like Dr. Carl McIntyre from the International Council of Churches, who was protesting that we were too soft on communism and something else he was protesting. Just a little view of this city, beautiful city, and during some of the breaks we had a chance to visit the cathedral and walk through some of the city. The mountains in the background. The end of the Congress, or toward the end of the Congress, everyone was given this large sheet with the Lausanne Covenant, 15 articles as a statement of what we believed about evangelism. Everyone had the opportunity to write their personal reactions and submit them to the writing committee. And at the end of the Congress, then, the final draft was given to everyone with a card, and if the individual person wanted to sign the card, he could. It was kept secret. No one knows who signed it and who didn't. Just the total numbers, somewhere over 2,000 people signed that statement.